story is told of Xanthus, the philosopher, who once told his servant that the next day he was going to have some friends for dinner and that he should get the best thing he could find in the market. The philosopher and his guests sat down the next day at the table, and they had nothing but tongue, four or five courses of tongue, tongue cooked in this way and tongue cooked in that way. The philosopher finally lost his patience with his servant, and he said to him, he said, "Didn't I tell you to get the best thing in the market?" The servant said, "I did get the best thing in the market. Isn't the tongue the organ of sociability, the organ of eloquence, the organ of kindness, the organ of worship?" So then Xanthus, the philosopher, said, "Tomorrow I want you to get the worst thing in the market." And on the morrow, the philosopher sat at the table, and there was nothing but tongue. Four or five courses of tongue. Tongue in this shape and tongue in that shape. The philosopher lost his patience again and said, "Didn't I tell you to get the worst thing in the market?" The servant replied, "I did, for isn't the tongue the organ of blasphemy, the organ of defamation, the organ of lying?" You know, I grew up with my grandmother cooking, you know, tongue when we would butcher a cow. And so when I read this, it really resonated because I quite honestly did not care for that dish. And so to me, it was something that wasn't very appealing. However, you know, I think about it is true that our tongue is used for both good and bad elements of speech. Our words, they have the power to do incredible harm or incredible good. And our tongue is the agent which brings forth life in others, and it can bring forth death to those with whom we speak. In an article written by Andrew Newberg, who is a medical doctor, and Mark Robert Waldman, that was written for Psychology Today, it was titled, "The Most Dangerous Word in the World." Newberg and Waldman, they state the following. If we were to put you in an MRI scanner, which is a huge donut-shaped magnet that can take a video of the neural changes happening in your brain, and flash the word no for less than 1 second, you would see a sudden release of dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters. These chemicals immediately interrupt the normal functioning of your brain, impairing logic and reason. They impair language processing and communication. As I was reading this week, I happened to think about how many times children are told that two-letter word, no. Waldman and Newberg, they go on. They say, in fact, just seeing a list of negative words for a few seconds will make a highly anxious or depressed person feel worse. And the more you ruminate on them, the more you can actually damage key structures that regulate your memory, that regulate your feelings and emotions. You'll disrupt your sleep, your appetite, and your ability to experience long-term happiness and satisfaction. They continue and they say, if you vocalize your negativity or even slightly frown when you say no, more stress chemicals will be released, not only in your brain, but in the listener's brain as well. The listener will experience increased anxiety and irritability, thus undermining cooperation and trust. In fact, just hanging around negative people will make you more prejudiced toward others. Friends, this is why Dave Kaiser, who leads Western Avenue, has shared with me time and time again that his hope when we go up there and serve a meal 4 times a year is that we would share positive words of affirmation, positive words of encouragement. Because, as Newberg and Waldman continue, and I will share this with you in a few moments, that it can positively change the course of an individual's life. By affirming, encouraging, uplifting, speaking words of truth, words of encouragement, because in fact our tongue does have the ability to promote life or to promote death. Newberg and Waldman, they continue and they title this section of the article, "The Power of Yes." When doctors and therapists teach patients to turn negative thoughts and worries into positive affirmations, the communication process improves and the patient regains self-control and confidence. But there's a problem. The brain barely responds to our positive words and thoughts. They're not a threat to our survival, so the brain doesn't need to respond as rapidly as it does to negative thoughts and words. To overcome this neural bias for negativity, we must repetitiously and consciously generate as many positive thoughts as we can. When I was working in a food service industry, this is why they told us that a dissatisfied person would tell on average of 10 people. A satisfied person will tell 3, because negativity sticks in our mind. It seems like we are hardwired with the propensity or the tendency to be negative. And Waldman and Newberg's advice, they say, choose your words wisely and speak them slowly. This will allow us all to interrupt the brain's propensity to be negative. And as recent research has shown, the mere repetition of positive words like love, listen to these words, like love, peace, compassion, will turn on specific genes that lower your physical and emotional stress. You'll feel better, you'll live longer, and you'll build deeper and more trusting relationships with others at home and at work. When you generate a minimum of 5 positive thoughts to each negative one, you'll experience an optimal range of human functioning. And they conclude and say, this is the power of yes. When I think about that, and I think I wish I could read the whole article to you this morning, but I don't believe we really grasp how much power we have when we speak to other people. If you have your Bibles and you brought your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, where we find ourselves in our series going through James. In chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 this morning. Follow along with me as we read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he or she is a perfect person, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You see, our words, friends, have the power to give life and to create effects in others, which is both negative and destructive, or positive and life-giving or fruit-bearing. It's essential we understand the source from where our words come. And I'll share with you the words of Jesus. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. This is the message that James has for us in verses 11 and 12, namely that the source of a freshwater spring cannot produce salt water, and a fig tree will not produce olives. James is saying the source or the root of all of our actions, all of our speech, is the very core or the substance of our being. I'll put it this way. A good heart will produce good words and speech. An evil heart will produce bad words and hurtful speech. I'll say that again. A good heart will produce edifying and encouraging words for others. A bad heart will produce hurtful words and harmful effects for the lives of those who hear them. You see, friends, the most evident fruit of our faith in Jesus Christ should be our sincere speech. the most evident fruit of our transformed heart when God gives us his Holy Spirit to take up residence inside of us is a heart which has been changed by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It will always be life-giving words for others. Throughout this entire passage, James speaks of three ways a person's tongue or their speech is used. I want us to think of this in a positive way this morning. The three are control, influence, and destruction. And what I mean is that we all have the power in our words to control the destiny of others for the positive by speaking words of encouragement. We all have the power to influence the course of other people's lives by the positive words we speak. We all have the power of destruction by the words we speak. As we speak good, life-giving words into the lives of others, we will actually be destroying the negative tendencies that we as people all have, which will promote positive changes and lifestyles in those with whom we speak. I hope this is sinking in, because our words are powerful. Our words have the power to bring forth life and bring forth death or negativity. It has been said that the greatest fear is the fear of being found out. And sometimes I think that we think we can put on a facade or a mask and think that nobody knows what we really are. And in fact, by our speech, we are already being found out. Sometimes we fail to link the connection between our speech and the condition of our heart. And it is connected. Our heart produces our speech, and we all are being found out each and every day by the words we speak and how we interact with others. Again, the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "The person who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water." And I want you to understand this. It's not just a trickle. It's not just a stream. It's a river of living water flowing out of your heart into the hearts and lives and the souls of those that we speak with. But yet, if our heart is not good, we will not speak rivers of living water. It will be words of destruction. It will be words of degrading and words that tear down rather than words that build up and promote and give life to those that we come in contact with. Jesus' words and James' words are the very same. It's the result or the fruit which we seek to produce in other people that we come in contact with each day. Control, influence, and destruction all have the potential for good and bad in a person's life. I want to look briefly at each one here this morning. James says in verse 3, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies." You know, a bit is an element with a horse, and it connects to the bridle. When my niece and nephew were in 4-H, the bit rests right on top of the tongue of a horse. And when you hold that bit, you can control a 2,000-pound animal with some little piece of small metal in their mouth, and yet you control the whole animal. You see, when we speak, we are in a position of power, and we often don't even think of that. We speak to other people each and every day, and we are in a position of power to control their life and their destiny. We have the power to encourage and uplift them, or we have the power to drag them down and destroy. That's huge, friends. We can be negative and influence or control others in the way of negativity, or we can be positive and control the eventual lives of others for the positive. This is why throughout Scripture we are all admonished to edify one another, to uplift one another, to encourage one another. In Thessalonians, we're told to therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Paul in Romans says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." May we all embrace and accept the responsibility, acknowledging that we have control in another person's life. The second is influence. Verse 4, James tells us this, "Look at the ships also, though they there are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." The author of Hebrews puts it this way, "But exhort one another today while it is still called today. To exhort is to encourage, to uplift, to speak those life-giving words into the heart, the mind, and the life and the soul of others. I have to share with you what I have observed and witnessed over the last couple years. If it's one thing that I believe that Trinity United Methodist Church must be changed, it's this. I've witnessed speech by other individuals that has not produced the life-giving effects in other people's hearts and minds and souls. I have been the recipient of it many a time. And I really, it bothers me. It truly does bother me. It bothers me to no end. I've witnessed people be misspoken to. I have witnessed people be spoken to in a manner that if it were me, it would cause me to walk out and never come back. Friends, that's bothersome to me. It's absolutely bothersome to me. Our words need to promote life. And time again, the negative talk and even harsh words that I have witnessed, the speech which has not been very becoming to those who have been spoken to. I have witnessed speech which must be corrected because you and I, we have the power of influence in people's lives. We can influence them for the good or otherwise. And I personally hope and I pray that you and me, we influence everyone for the good, that their life will be changed for the better. My hope and my prayer for all of us here at Trinity United Methodist Church, no matter where we're at, if we're within this building or if we're within the community, if we're at our workplace, wherever we're at, or if we're at the grocery store, that when we speak to people, they walk away from us and they say, there's something different about that person. And they walk away and they can inhale and they can breathe. And I don't know about you, but I've spoken to children who have absolutely heard negative, negative, negative throughout their whole life. And you begin to affirm them. I've spoken with adult, grown men, grown women, and you begin to affirm them and their eyes tear up because they're not used to hearing it. Friends, God speaks encouraging words to you and to me. May we all understand the control that we have in another's life, the influence that we have in another's life, and may those that come across our path, may they receive those life-giving words from our heart and soul, from the Spirit of God that resides deep within you and me. The third aspect that James touches on is the aspect of destruction. Verse 5, he says, so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. You might be wondering how destruction can be a positive. And let me explain here this morning. We're told in 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear. And through our words of affirmation and expressions of care, love, and concern, you and I, you and me, we can destroy the works of the devil in another person. Hear that. The devil wants to capture us by fear and paralyze us to not move forward in what God wants us to do. And when we encourage and we exhort and we edify one another and we say, you can go higher, you can go further, you can do more than what you even believe in yourself, we in effect are destroying the works of the devil in that other person because we believe in them. We share the encouragement that God wants them to hear. We have the power. We have the control. We have the influence in their life. Let me say that again. Through our words of affirmation, love, care, and concern, you and I, we can destroy the works of the devil in another person's heart, mind, and soul. So my prayer, friends, is this. That we might all be part of controlling the life of those we speak to for the glory of God, not for our own selfish agenda, but for God's glory. May our part in their lives be to control the negativity which the world constantly places upon them. I think about that often, how the world heaps up negative things upon every individual in it, and we can be the answer in the people's lives that we speak to. May you and I, may we all be part of the influencing of these people that we speak to for the glory of God. May our part in their lives be to influence them and exhort them to go further and higher than what the world would say was possible, since we all know that with God our things are possible. And may we, you and me, be a part of destroying the works of negativity in the lives of those people we speak to. Jesus, in fact, said that he came not to just do away, but to destroy the works of the devil. And we are told that you and me, all believers, will do greater things than Jesus. And I believe this is one way that you and I, we can partner with Christ and destroy the negative destiny of those people locked and pitted in a cycle that has no hope, promise, or even a future. May our speech be the first evidence of fruit in our lives for the glory of God and the benefit of all people. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we are humbled by this challenge, and Father, we all fall short. We all succumb to the negative thoughts and words and influences of our world. Father, forgive us. May our words be seasoned with grace and full of mercy, and may they be life-giving words. May they be edifying and encouraging and exhorting words that allow another individual to say, yep, I can do it. Yes, God loves me. And Father, may we not be a part of the destructive or negative influences. May we partner with you. And Jesus, may we receive the words that you speak to each and every single one of us. You're my blessed child. You're the one whom I love, the one whom I sacrificed my life for on the cross. And may this be the source of our heart of care and concern and compassion for those that we speak to. And Father, may our speech truly be a river, a flowing river of living water into the hearts, minds, and souls of those with whom we speak. Father, I thank you for my friends. I pray you would lead us and guide us. Show us your will. May we partner with you in all that we say and do. And may our speech be the first evidence of the fruit of your working in our heart, mind, and soul. And may it glorify you and praise you and honor you. We bless you, Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. As we conclude this time of worship, if you would take your hymnal and please stand and turn to hymn 119 as we sing, Open My Eyes.